Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in Arthur Schwartz. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Do we say happy Memorial Day?
I just say, enjoy time with your friends and families, but at some point during the course of the day, remember those that gave their lives in service of their country. And, enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. But, remember what it's all about. You can say have a happy Memorial Day, but always, phrase it with the fact that it's a day where you honor those who gave their lives.
Yes. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was actually a memorial to World War One and Two, because I grew up after World War Two, veterans, and we used to have a little march in the neighborhood. Everybody going to this, basically it was somebody's front yard that had this memorial, and I was in the Bugle Corps. my parents wouldn't let me take up the drums for obvious reasons. And there were only two choices in this little. Arthur. It was a veterans organization that organized this little bugle and drum corps. By the way, nobody got drums to take home. They only got this little pad and a couple of drumsticks. So my parents really would have been better off with me playing drums, because it was relatively silent, than having to listen to me playing bugle. Anyway, I do minimal acknowledgement of Memorial Day these days. I don't march in any parade or play bugle. But I am going to cook. In fact, I came home. It's funny. This is an Arthur Schwartz thing. If I eat something in a restaurant that isn't particularly good or up to the standard I think it should be, I have to run home and cook it to reassure myself that yes, this is still something you like. So in Rome, I'm not going to do my whole song and dance on Delta Airlines, although I could. Which sort of ruined my whole trip coming home. But anyway, in Rome, I was going regularly to a restaurant down the street from the hotel, mainly a pizzeria, I noticed. Like on the weekend, it was mobbed with families, because what kid, Italian or American, doesn't love pizza? But they had other food. And what I kept thinking I should order, because I like it, is stracchetti, S-T-R-A-C-E-T-T-I, means little rags in Italian. And it's in this case, stracchetti is very, very thinly sliced beef that is cooked very briefly, or should be, in some kind of seasoned olive oil, and then topped with something. The classic would be arugula, not the big leaf thing, but I see in my market is called wild rocket, or wild arugula, or wild rucola, or rocket. The small leaf, very peppery kind. On top, now you could add a little bit more salad to that if you really wanted, but I don't usually want. The only garnish I want beyond some of that green is some scaglie di parmigiano, scales of Parmesan cheese. And you just use your swivel-bladed vegetable peeler and make, nice thin slices of Parmigiano and put that on top. So I had that, finally, the last day we were in Rome. I finally got around to ordering it, and eyeing it for a whole week. And what a disappointment. I thought this was going to be good, because one day in the restaurant, I noticed the owner himself eating a steak. And they do make steak in this restaurant. And generally, I don't eat beef in Italy. Italian beef, except for the Florentine Chianina beef, is not anywhere near as good as our beef, even our grass-fed beef, which isn't my favorite. Anyway, moving on. So the stracchetti were usually disappointing. And I said, when I get home, I need to do this. So I'm get home, and I'm totally jet-lagged, and not on any schedule that any person would be on in Brooklyn. And I realize I can't even get to the store. but my butcher does deliver. So I get on the phone, and it's not Angela, who I know, and neither Rocco or Joe, the two butchers, were available to talk to at that moment. And I realized the young woman who I was talking to was not going to get this message straight. What I wanted was them to slice me on the machine very thin slices of round, of beef, round beef, which is a very lean cut, and not a cut that I often make, rarely make, actually, but I thought it would be good for this, and I know it would be because I've done it before. The problem is getting the butcher to slice it on the machine and to make it thin enough, and sometimes I get it home and I have to pound it out. My butcher would do all this for me because, for one thing, he's Italian and he knows what stracchetti is. So I tell him if I want a pound of meat for stracchetti, he'll know what I want. In any case, he wasn't available. So I said to myself, Bob doesn't love this in any case. Maybe I should make it with the very, very nice roasted, rare, very rare roasted beef that my butcher makes himself in the store. And so I got a pound of that. Well, I didn't get a whole pound, actually. I got 12 ounces, which I thought was an ample serving for the two of us, 6 ounces of beef each. And how I do the stracchetti, and by the way, just to say, get to the end right away, it worked out great. I liked it. And you don't really have to cook the meat. You're basically just sort of swashing it. You're just sort of dipping it into hot oil for literally seconds. In fact, I would say you probably don't even have to do that. You could probably just pour the hot oil over the meat. But I do like to swish it around, and it could cook. My butcher's sliced roast beef is so rare that it could stand a few minutes in the oil. Oh, not a few minutes, but, 20 seconds, half a minute in the oil. So the oil is special. I use my good extra virgin olive oil, not my best that I use for salad only, or use raw only, but the very good oil that I've been cooking with. This year, for some reason, there are many reasons. The oil is particularly good from Sicily, and I've been buying, I always buy Sicilian oil, but I've been buying a less expensive one lately, only because I bought it one day and it was fabulous, so I've been buying it. Anyway, you put the oil in a skillet big enough to hold your meat, so a big skillet, and put a nice skimming of oil on the bottom, and then several crushed cloves of garlic. I don't mean crushing them in a garlic press. I mean using the heel of your hand to slam the garlic and crush it slightly. Put that in the oil, and then several sprigs of fresh rosemary. If you don't have fresh rosemary, I have done this with dried rosemary. It's better with fresh rosemary. So I put in a couple of sprigs of fresh rosemary, and I let the oil heat very low heat for quite a while until I flip over the garlic at some point. You don't want the garlic to brown. You just want it to get soft in the oil, and you can squish down the garlic a couple times, and you'll see the juices of the garlic getting into the oil, and you can now have this beautifully flavored garlic rosemary oil. You can do that ahead of time. And then when you're ready to make the stracchetti, heat the pan over medium-high heat until the garlic starts sizzling. You still don't want it to brown. And as soon as that happens, you can throw in your meat. Now, if you're buying sliced rare roast beef in the supermarket or wherever you would buy that, delicatessen, I would separate the meat first, as I do, meaning when you put it in the pan, you don't want it to be a big clump of meat. You want each slice individual. So I separate the meat, and I sort of make little rags on a plate, and as soon as the oil is hot, I throw the rags in the pan, and literally 30 seconds later, if the oil is nice and hot, you've got stracchetti, and then I throw in the rest. I do it in two batches. And then you'll have a little oil left in the pan. If you like to eat the garlic, you can. I do. Bob doesn't. So I get the extra garlic. And that's it. And I pour the oil that's in the pan over the whole thing, although I guess I put the arugula on first, and then I put the oil, and then if I'm using cheese, not grated cheese, but you know, thin curls, thin scales of Parmesan. That's it. Salt and pepper. Yeah, and actually, my butcher's roast beef is seasoned so well that I only minimally needed to add salt and pepper. That is stracchetti. And if you're no carbing it, then it's a perfect dish. You're allowed, on the keto diet, you're allowed everything that's in there in abundance. And however, we went off the keto diet before we left on our trip, and what we added was, besides a couple vegetables that may have some more carbs than I would want when I'm ketoing it, I added bread. I really did miss bread. But I haven't eaten white bread in years, except for a great baguette. Or in Rome, for instance, they do make very crusty, wonderful, damp bread. I was in Tuscany, too, and their bread's not so wonderful. It's a salt-free bread. So I had one slice, and all right, I can skip that. But I do want, at home, to eat a really high-fiber, high-protein bread. And you really have to look at labels and read labels to determine this. Because there are a lot of breads that are called whole wheat, or, I love this one, multi-grain. You know that you only need to have two grains to call it multi-grain?
That's right.
It could be. Well, I'm sorry. If a black person has a baby with a white person, we don't say that's multiracial.
No,
it's biracial.
It sounds much better than binary.
We know about the prefix bi.
But it sounds better than two-grain bread.
Yeah. Bi-grain bread. No. So, and I'm not exaggerating, it can be just plain old whole wheat bread with some oatmeal on the top. And that qualifies as multi-grain. So you really have to read labels. I love reading labels. That's why I take so much time in the supermarket, because I'm forever reading labels. And if you read the labels, you'll find out that there's really a lot of confusion about whole wheat, multigrain, whole grain. So let's start with whole wheat. Whole wheat means that the grain has all three parts in the flour: the bran, the endosperm, and the ectosperm, meaning the whole grain. And processed flour, white flour, or even what you buy as whole wheat flour in the supermarket, does not necessarily have all those three parts. And if the word enriched or bleached is on the label, I don't buy it. Enriched means they stripped out stuff and put back in stuff. In other words, it's highly processed. Bleached means what it says. They bleached the flour to make it whiter. So it's hard to find this kind of bread that I like. The fact that it is dense and grainy does not necessarily mean it's made from multi-grains, because a lot of these multi-grain breads are actually two grains and a lot of seeds. I don't know. I should have invested in sesame seeds and flax seeds years ago. It's probably too late now. But I can't tell you how many breads are just plain old white bread with sesame seeds on top, and they'll call it high-fiber whole grain bread. I've seen this. And in fact, on the ship we were on, when I asked for whole grain bread, I got a white roll with both black and white sesame seeds on it. Sunflower seeds are big in bread. Flax is a grain, after all. That's big in bread, and that's a good one. So this all led me to purchase recently something called Dave's Killer Bread. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, it's the rage. And I didn't know that when I bought it. I saw it in the supermarket. I read the label. It's called 21 grain bread. I said, well, that's enough grains. So if you read the label, there are some seeds in there, but there are indeed a lot of different grains. So, and why it's called Dave's Killer Bread is Dave is a third generation, no, I guess he's only second generation baker, but he was a bad boy and he went to prison. And when he came out, his brother, who was running the family bakery, by the way, Dave's father was making a whole grain bread in the early 80s before anybody really wanted to do these, you know, before it was a thing. And the brother gave the convict a job, and now they've turned it into, I should say, Dave turned it into a multi-million dollar company, which he has sold a good portion of. I think he actually sold not the whole company, but half the company for hundreds of millions of dollars, because he's a smart man. He actually makes a whole range of breads that are indeed multi-grain or whole grain. He also makes a white bread. I have to say this because my next-door neighbor bought it at the food co-op. She shops at the Park Slope Food Co-op, which is the oldest, largest, I'm not sure it's largest anymore, but certainly the oldest food co-op in the country. And I don't shop there, but she does. And she bought the white bread. And she said, you know, it wasn't special. It was white bread. So I don't buy white bread, so I wouldn't know. But to tell you, there are various loaves of Dave's bread that are really packed with nutrition. And they come in regular size slices, 110 calories more or less per slice. And they come thin sliced, which is only 70 calories a slice. And by the way, the thin slice is not that thin. It's a nice, you know, for a sandwich, it's terrific. And even his multigrain bread is soft enough to be a sandwich bread. I don't really like these really dense breads full of seeds and whole grains. I mean, I like to eat them for their own sake, but I don't like them as sandwich bread. So Dave's, so I did a little research. It ends up, Dave's is the rage, Marshall. He's in Costco, Trader Joe. I'm telling you, every supermarket, and I shop in several supermarkets that I shop in, and even the food co-op is carrying the bread. Another nice thing about Dave's bread is that Dave, being an ex-con himself, makes a point of hiring, actually training and hiring, other ex-convicts. And I forget what proportion of their employee numbers are ex-cons, but a significant number, like maybe a third. I think they keep growing that number, and it tells you on the package. Of course, they boast about this. So the things that I look for in whole wheat bread are, number one, fiber. I'm looking for bread that is whole enough that it contains fiber. Now, the problem with some whole grain bread is that a whole grain will go rancid eventually, so be sure to buy fresh bread. Not that you're going to find rancid seeds in a whole grain bread. You probably won't. But remember that it doesn't last forever. I do have a whole grain loaf that I buy from a local bakery. I'm still trying to get them to give me a nutrition breakdown on it. But I'm pretty convinced that it's good, the profile, the nutrition profile. But that bread, without any additives or anything, lasts. Almost, I mean, it doesn't usually last a week because we eat it, but it does last a week. And I slice it myself. So, of course, pre-sliced bread tends to get stale, using the generic word, before whole loaves of bread. So I look for the fiber. It would be nice to have 4 or 5 grams of fiber per slice of bread. And by the way, David's does. What David's has that I don't like, the downside of Dave's bread, is it does have a more significant sugar content than a lot of bread. Look, there are so many different Dave's breads. There is one, like they're called the Power Loaf or something, that is multi-grain with seeds and has less sugar than the regular multi-grain breads, which have, you know, I hate to say it, as much as a teaspoon of sugar per slice of bread, for the normal slice of bread, that's a lot of sugar. It does make the bread taste good, and I do believe that it probably adds to the shelf life of the bread. I do see, by the way, Dave's bread being sold frozen. I wouldn't trust that. I do freeze bread at home, but I don't want to start out with frozen bread. And then you got to get it home before it defrosts and put it in the freezer. And that doesn't work for me. So fiber is my number one thing that I'm looking for in the nutrition profile. And then protein. I mean, there is protein in grains. For instance, when you look at the box of pasta, I'm always looking for 7 grams of protein per 2-ounce serving, which is my minimum, because that's actually a high-protein flour that is being used. Durum semolina is a high-protein, high-gluten flour. Gluten, by the way, is a wheat protein. So if you're on a gluten-free, I don't know if there's a Dave's gluten-free. I wouldn't be surprised if there is, but I don't know what they make it from. But wheat is, you know, good wheat, high-protein wheat, is high-gluten wheat, hence 7 grams of protein per 2 ounces of pasta. So the same thing with bread. Look for a nice protein content, like, you know, 3 grams per slice is fair enough for a slice of bread. You're not using bread as your main protein source, but it does indicate the quality of the whole flour, the whole wheat flour. By the way, all the breads that are labeled whole wheat bread, I just call them beige bread because they're rarely made from real whole wheat. If you look at the labels, you see enriched wheat. And maybe they throw in some bran, I don't know, to make it a little beiger. But to me, it's just white bread. And often, by the way, there's coloring in those breads. So the only reason they're beige is that they threw in some caramel coloring. So I'm not eating bread again, though.
You're off the bread wagon.
Last night I overdid it. Last night was a significant anniversary for Mr. Harnett and me. And so we went to the River Cafe for dinner. The River Cafe is Brooklyn's most elegant restaurant. I was surprised to see that it was absolutely full, and a lot of tourists and a lot of people celebrating stuff. There was a couple on one side celebrating their 40th anniversary. They'd come all the way from Mississippi. It was their first time in New York. And then they were going to get on a plane and go to Italy. Nice for your 40th. And then on the other side of me was a couple celebrating his master's degree. Then there was a 50th birthday at the table across from us. It's a real celebratory kind of place. The flowers are unbelievable. The food is unbelievable. And the bread, though it was strictly a white baguette, was so good. There's nothing like a really good French-style loaf of white bread with crackling, crisp crust, airy interior, and it was served with, I don't know what kind of butter, but it was the best butter I had and I buy good butter. This was, I have to add, Buzzy O'Keefe is the owner of the River Cafe, and we have been friends, we realized last night, for 45 years. When he opened that restaurant is when I met him. And it's interesting. Many years later, I interviewed him on the radio. I did a whole program with him. It's what I used to do when I went on vacation. I would find some interesting person in the food world and do a whole show with them. And Buzzy is very interesting. So a boy from the Bronx who opened the waterfront for New York City. There was no restaurants on the waterfront 45 years ago. And he put this barge on the Brooklyn side of the Brooklyn Bridge. And it's a magnificent place these days. Anyway, 45 years he's been there. And I used to say that my favorite meal at the River Cafe was brunch. But they haven't served brunch since the beginning of the pandemic. And I asked him last night, and he says he hopes to start it again soon. But it is a magnificent place. You're right on the water. It is literally a barge on the East River. Anyway, I also want to ask him what kind of butter that was. I mean, I mentioned to Melissa how great the butter was, but I forgot to add the question. It was like, where's this butter from? I suspect it could, since he's such an Irish guy, that it could be Irish butter. And Kerrygold is making a big, big splash in the American market these days. I don't know if you've tried Kerrygold butter, but it's very special butter.
Yeah, I haven't tried it, but you know what I did get? And I don't know, have you ever heard of a butter tub?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I forgot all about them, but I finally found one, and son of a gun, it works.
You're thinking about where you put the butter in cold water?
Yes, it works. It's unbelievable.
What does it do?
What it does, you fill the container up halfway, then you fill this other thing, a stick of butter, full butter, goes in it, okay, the top half. The top half is a cup that is inverted, and it goes into the bottom half where it has the water. So the butter always has a cool water on the bottom of it, and it's not too soft, it's not too hard.
My father hated hard butter.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
You
this,
too?
This keeps it perfect. It's not hard, it's not soft, and it stays fresh. And you could leave it out for like a week, week and a half.
Well, I hate to say this, Marshall, but you could leave butter out for a week and a half anyway.
Not if you have cats.
What'd you say?
Not if you have cats. They go after the butter
dish. No, maybe not if you have cats, but if you don't have pets. I learned this as a teenager when I worked on a farm in central New York, and my farmer's wife left the butter out all the time. And I said, isn't that going to spoil? And she said, no, butter doesn't spoil that fast. We eat it faster than it spoils.
It also gets
and it's always soft.
It's very soft. But for some reason, the cats, whenever you get a butter dish, they figure it out. And in the middle of the night, you hear a clunk, and there they are.
Let me say, so that butter dish is great if you own cats. Or dogs dogs that like butter, too. I don't know about dogs going after butter, though.
No, I think most dogs will go after butter, too, but the cats just get on the counter quicker, that's all.
Yeah, and dogs will eat things that'll kill them.
They will.
they're omnivorous. They're not multi-grain, but
no.
They're omnivorous.
That's right. All right. Well, it's
all righty. So Stracchetti. Remember that. It's such an easy, quick thing. And this summer, you're going to be happy you know about stracchetti, because you can make the oil in the morning, and then you turn on the flame for 5 minutes, and you've got dinner.
It's funny you say that, because I do make a soup that I make a bone broth, and then I put bok choy in it, and I go to my to Le Bon's, and I have the grocer slice roast beef paper thin. And then I don't have to cook it, and then when the soup comes to be ready, I just put it in, and
shabu,
it cooks.
Shabu.
Yeah, it's.
That's the Japanese, isn't it? Yeah. Shabu shabu is Japanese, and you just sort of swish the meat in hot broth.
That's it.
And then in the end, you get a good broth. Yeah. It keeps fortifying the broth. Yeah. The vegetables and the meat. All right, you made me hungry now.
All right, and you made me hungry.
All right, so it's mutual admiration hunger.
A mutual hunger society, that's it. All right, Arthur.
Have a great week.
Take care, you too. That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.